This is Japan Baseball Weekly, the only English podcast covering all 12 NPB teams. And now, your hosts, John E. Gibson and Jim Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of August 3rd. Wow, August. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Sunday night is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I should be well rested because I was off today, but you know how that goes.
Well, you're tired because you were streaming all day.
Okay, well, that's better than streaking, which I don't do. I do stream, but I don't streak.
Great.
I don't know why that thought out of your mind. hand out the sherbet or something to cleanse people's palates after that.
Can I get some of that bleach they're handing out so I can wash my brain?
Wow.
Hashtag.
Wow. I don't know. You got to ask 45 for that stuff. He knows where to get it.
All right. As we do each week, or as I do. Frontline and essential workers worldwide, thank you very much. And in Tokyo, where I guess testing is going up, actually nationwide testing is going up for coronavirus. So we have seen the numbers spike, but geez, we want normal life back again. And the path to that is to kill the virus. So yeah, let's not spread it.
Yeah, please. Please stay home. Please be cautious of where you are. And I know none of our listeners are there, but darn. I mean, my neighborhood is full of bars and restaurants, and it is depressing.
Then don't tell me about it, because I want to. You know, if it were just those people who were getting sick and then
thing is, it's
and having problems, it would be awesome because they made their choices. But what's right. happening is those people are getting other people
they
sick.
They're playing Russian roulette
with someone else's head.
They're on the trains. They're meeting people. Yeah. They're breathing on people.
It's not right.
Yeah, stop it. Stop it. Please stop it. Please think. I want to ask them, why aren't you wearing a mask, and why aren't you wearing a mask properly? But I am afraid. I do want to know why, but I'm also afraid of what I might hear.
Yeah, me too. All right, on this week's show, we're going to hear an interview with Alonzo Powell, the roving hitting coach of the Chunichi Dragons. We've got our first Mini Tracks power ranking segment of the season. We're going to look at bullpen blowups and top performers of the month. And if we have some time, if we haven't gone too long, we'll handle some high heat. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, so as you might imagine, Jim and I have an affinity for baseball. Big news.
John has an affinity for baseball. I'm going to put John ahead of me in that character. I'm a hanger-on. I'm a follower. I look for the crumbs that drop off the plate and try to figure out what's on the plate.
Yeah, don't believe that, people. You know, with me, I think it stretches across an array of sports. I think with you, Jim, it's more specific, although you like your soccer, you're into cricket, and you're into some other sports. But for me, I really like a lot of sports. In fact, I was glad to see NHL get back underway today as well. But when I used to talk to Dragons roving hitting coach Alonzo Powell back in the day when we lived in Nagoya, we used to talk about NFL. We used to talk about NBA. We would, of course, talk about Major League Baseball. Sometimes we'd dabble in the MPB stuff, but not so much. I think whenever I saw him, a lot of times he was in his private time, didn't want to worry about all that stuff. So we talked about other sports. It was fun. But Zoe is obviously back this season. He has been on the show a couple times already this year, and where I've said before, I would like to have him on more, and I'm glad we have this opportunity to pick his brain on occasion and see what's going on, and just to talk to him about things that are going on with the Dragons. All right, so I got to sit down with Alonzo Powell on Thursday. I was at the office, but there were no unexpected walk-ins, no phone calls. He was in his hotel in Hiroshima, and we had a really good, strong connection, and no problems. The sound was good. I mean, no problems. This is like the first time. Many of you might remember Zoe as the guy who won three consecutive Central League batting titles from 1994 to 1996. And now he's back with the Dragons trying to corral this. You know, we talked about the fact that some of these guys might be inexperienced, but they're not all that young. So it's not an excuse to say that this is a young team, because it's not. There are some players who are young. Some of the pitchers they've been going with this season are young, but most of the guys are not so young. And anyway, Alonzo and I sat down, like I said, on Thursday. I had some questions prepared. We pretty much stuck to the script in that respect. And obviously a guy I've known for, I think, more than 25 years. I think he's getting old, although he was born a week after I was born. So where does that leave me? I keep saying I'm young because my kids are young. So that keeps me young. Anyway, he's a really good communicator and really good deliverer of content in his message. And I think he delivers with us a couple nuggets. So let's hear from Alonzo Powell. All right, joining us this week on the show is Chunichi Dragons roving hitting coach Alonzo Powell, my buddy, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, John.
Hey, thank you very much for taking the time to be on. Really appreciate it in these COVID-19 times where it's really hard to get interviews. And we have this unique opportunity with you as a coach, so I want to take advantage of it. I wish we could have you on every week, but that's another topic. All right. So obviously this season has not been the start you guys envisioned for the Dragons. So how's your mental state with all these losses starting to stack up?
Well, I mean, you know, the mental state is, it's good, but, you know, it's at the same time, it's not good. You know, you obviously expect more consistent play from the team. You know, right now we're getting a combination of, you know, our starting pitching isn't where we would like it to be. And, you know, our hitting, we've been inconsistent on the hitting side of that. And, you know, that creates the kind of start that we've had so far.
Yeah, I've seen the inconsistency. And before the season, I think I told you last year, the Dragons led the Central League in batting average and hits, but they were second to last in runs scored. So this is similar to what's going on this season. You guys seem to be able to get guys on, but why is this happening again this year?
Well, you know, a little bit of it is pitch selection. You know, I think we're swinging at some bad pitches and some crucial times. And, you know, and I think, you know, now getting a chance to see a little bit of Japan again and get to see some of the ballparks again. You know, the Nagoya Dome plays a little bit into that, because in other areas when guys get hits, you know, they play in stadiums that are conducive for home runs. You know, the Nagoya Dome, you know, isn't conducive for home runs. So, you know, I see where that plays into it a little bit. But, you know, now, you can't use that for excuse. You know, we have to do a better job of getting more hits and getting more doubles. You know, that's one thing that I've seen so far. You know, and I think today would be game number 36, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the whole number. I know you guys passed 30, so, yeah.
You know, that's what I've been seeing on the hitting end. You know, and then, you know, we've had a couple injuries that hadn't helped us. You know, Amonte going down early.
Yep.
Takahashi went down. And, you know, we've had some guys banged up. But, you know, like I've always said throughout my baseball career, you know, this isn't the feel sorry for you league. You know, the other teams aren't going to feel sorry for you if your key players are out. You know, hopefully, you know, we've gotten those guys back. We look like we should be getting Amonte back pretty soon here. And, you know, hopefully we can get on a roll and turn things around.
Right. Now, I have this image of you furiously taking notes for every player after every at-bat during games to prep them for the hitters' meeting. So what is it that you're actually doing during the games?
During the game, you know, I am taking notes, watching the game from – and Nagoya, you know, we have some right now since, you know, there's not a lot of fans. We have a box right behind home plate that I get a bird's eye view from the game, which is really good because I get to see the whole field. You know, I can see everything. So I get to sit back there and take notes on both sides. You know, Yoda's allowed me the freedom to, you know, give comments on the pitching, the defense, the hitting, things that I observed during the game.
Right.
And, you know, now I'm starting to take a lot of notes on different pitchers now that I'm getting able to see, you know, for the second and third times. So just, you know, marking down notes and, you know, exchanging those notes with the coaches, you know, and then in between innings, while we're on defense, if I pick up something on offense, you know, I can run down and get one of the other hitting coaches' attention and share my ideas. You know, and that's pretty much what I do during the game.
Okay. And what about these hitters' meetings? Then you go over the same material?
Yeah, you know, we go over the same material for the hitters' meeting. You know, we usually do that the day of the game. You know, we'll talk with our scorer, you know, who gives us some of our information. And then, you know, we'll go through with some of our own information that we've come up with. And then we formulate a game plan and what particular lineup we might like that for that day. You know, if we have any tweaks in the batting order, you know, usually that's when we kind of come up with those type of things.
Okay. So you guys got these two Cuban guys, Alex Martinez and Rydell Martinez. And it's really unique. It's they're young guys. I've never seen a team that had two young players like this who look to have a lot of potential. How is it coaching those guys? You don't have much to do with Rydell because he's never going to really bat, but you see him in his interactions on the team and everything.
Yeah, no, both of these guys are really fun. You know, they're energetic. You know, they bring a lot of energy to the ballpark. And, you know, at the same time, once you say play ball, you know, they're there and they're ready to compete. You know, Ariel has come in and lit a fire under us. You know, he's come in and done a great job. And, you know, I'm very surprised with his communication skills. You know, he makes great visits to the mound to, you know, get a little change of pace or, you know, calm a pitcher down. You know, his communicational skills on the bench, talking to the pitchers in between innings, you know, that year or so that he spent in the minor leagues, you know, he's taken advantage of it and he's learned the language. You know, he's obviously learned how to communicate with the pitchers. Mm. And, you know, and he's done a good job. You know, now it's just, you know, getting them used to playing every day. But, you know, he's a good player. He's a very good player. And Rydell, you know, he's come in and, you know, assumed the closing role right now for the team. You know, he's coming in, throwing strikes, you know, three pitches for strikes. You know, then he's got the, you know, 157, 158 fastball that he can unleash at any time to keep you honest. So, you know, those two guys have been, you know, really good really good shot in the arm for us, you know, because I don't think everybody in baseball here expected them to contribute this year the way they've contributed.
Yeah, certainly not Ariel, because I think a lot of people didn't really have high expectations for a developmental player. But he, you know, he was hitting early on, and then all of a sudden he was in and out of the lineup. So I was wondering how the team viewed him, if that's a position actually that didn't have any consistency in terms of offense. So to have a guy who comes in and produces offensively, I know he's a catcher first and foremost, so he's got to be able to handle pitches in the dirt and throw out runners. But how's the team view him?
No, they view him as a catcher. You know, as a catcher. You know, it's not a gimmick. You know, this kid can play behind the plate. You know, he can block the ball. He can throw the ball. He calls a great game, in my opinion. And, you know, now it's just a matter of him, you know, learning the league and being used to catching every day. You know, I don't think, you know, he's been in a situation where he's, you know, caught three, four games in a row because, you know, you don't really play that many games in a row internationally. And then, you know, the last year on the farm team, I think he was maybe catching one out of four games and then playing a little bit of first on a farm team. And, you know, as you know, catching is a very demanding position.
Yep.
And to, you know, to be able to run out there in the 6-game week, you know, I see him maybe catching 4 games a week, possibly 5.
All right. That's good to know. Now, Takaya Ishikawa came up to replace injured Takahashi at third. Now, how do you view his performance in this small sample size? I looked at the results, and I tried to look past the results and see the swing and all that stuff. But how do you view him in this small sample size?
I think he held his own. I think he did very well. You know, we knew there were going to be some growing pains when we brought him up. But, you know, we decided to, once we did bring him up, we decided to give him the opportunity to play. You know, we felt like if we were going to bring him up, we needed to let him play. We needed him to experience some things that you can't teach on the farm.
Sure.
You know, some of the power pitches that he's seen, some of the pitchers that, you know, were able to get ahead of him with breaking balls or to finish him with breaking balls. And, you know, those are things that, you know, you only get by experience. You know, you can't teach a kid that. They have to see it. And lately, you know, I thought his swings have been much better, much more consistent. And, you know, this kid has a great future. You know, we got to also understand that he's, you know, he's 19 years old.
Yes.
And, you know, he's a baby. You know, he's playing with the big boys. And that's one thing that I've talked to him about. I'm like, listen, you know, these guys have a lot more experience than you have. And you're seeing things that you've never seen. You're seeing things that you've seen for the first time. And I said, use this as a learning tool, because now that's going to help your development. If he has to go back, you know, now you go back and you use that to help yourself when you're playing down on a farm team. And hopefully, you know, whenever it's time for him to assume an everyday role, this will be a great learning experience. You know, I look at it, you know, if he was in the U.S., he would probably be in low A ball right now. Right. And then now you're asking this guy to play in the major leagues. You know, it's difficult.
Definitely, definitely. All right. What about the other kid, Akira Neo, whose development chart we don't really know, but he hit a couple home runs yesterday on the farm. Now, that was at Nagoya Stadium, so it could have been a couple pop flies that went out. Or I didn't see the replays, obviously, but he is a guy I think they're waiting or hoping can produce, and maybe sooner than later with the struggles on the top team. So what's he looking like?
Nails playing well. I actually saw the two home runs on our iPads yesterday, and they were at Nagoya Stadium, Nagoya Kyujo. I can't call it anything but Nagoya Kyujo.
All right, I'll forgive
you. Yeah, and he had two home runs, and they weren't cheap. They one was to deep right center, and the other one was an opposite field home run to left center.
Okay,
and you know they. You know, they redid those dimensions there to pretty much make them like the dimensions at the Nagoya Dome.
Okay.
So, you know, hit those balls good. You know, he's been playing well. Actually going to the farm team this weekend to watch the farm team. And but you know, Nail's playing well, and you know, we're happy with his progress. He's made some adjustments that we've asked him to make. And he's doing a good job.
Okay. All right. Now, like I said at the beginning, you guys had this rough start, but you do have time to turn it around. So I know you can't divulge too much, but what are you having your guys focus on as you try to get better contact and more consistent contact and better situational hitting?
Well, you know, the key is we just have to play – we have to play – consistent baseball. We have to be on the attack early in counts, and with two strikes, you know, you have to play, you know, you got to play baseball. You know, you have to be able to put the ball in play, do the little things, get guys over, get them in. You know, there's still time to do some things. You know, we're looking at, you know, you're around whatever 80 games left, close to 80 games. You know, so anything can happen. You can make a run in 80 games, but it starts with, you know, consistent play. You know, we got some guys that can swing the bat, that are swinging the bat a lot better right now. Abe's playing a lot better right now. Fukuda's playing a lot better right now. You know, Kyoda has been pretty consistent so far, you know, but all of these guys have room to play another level up. You know, if we can get those guys to be a little bit more consistent, to play another level up, and, you know, they can help carry the load that, you know, Oshima, Viciedo, Ariel Martinez, and now that we got, you know, Takahashi back, and, you know, hopefully we can get some consistent play out of our hitters. You know, it's the same to be said with our starting pitching. You know, we've been a little bit inconsistent with our starting pitching. You know, we would like to, you know, see some more innings out of those guys. You know, hopefully, you know, last couple of games, you know, Ono was hurt by burning up his pitch count early in the game, and then we had to get him out of there, and I think it was five the other day.
Right.
But, you know, he had a bunch of foul balls in the first inning of his last start on Friday. You know, I think because I was back there watching, and he actually threw 35 pitches in that first inning. So that, you know, when you get a guy that throws 35 in the first inning, now he's battling the pitch count the rest of the game. You know, you're hoping that he get a quick innings to get his pitch count back. But, you know, he never did. You know, he ended up having like 91 after five. So they decided to take him out. But, you know, it's a team game, you know, both sides of the ball. You know, defense, you know, we've been pretty solid on defense. But, you know, you always want to get better on defense and to do the little things. You know, I've seen all of the teams, and, you know, I think the Central League is going to be very competitive. You know, I don't really see anybody really running away with it. You know, the Giants are doing that a little bit right now. But, you know, I think, you know, there's some other teams, including us, that can play with the Giants. But, you know, we just have to be a lot more consistent.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to it. Especially me. Thanks a lot for your time this morning, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I wish we could have you every week, but we, you know, we will take advantage of this and call upon you again this season. So be ready for us. Thanks.
All right. No problem. I'm available whenever you guys need me. Thanks a lot.
All right, Zoe. As I said on the phone and afterwards, thank you so much for taking the time on that morning. It was Thursday morning at your hotel to chat with us and provide some information for our listeners. Really appreciate it.
Indeed, it was great. Always a gentleman. Always appreciate having you on the show. And like John said, I'd like to have you on the show every week, but you've got responsibilities.
Yeah. Plus, we don't pay very much.
Yeah, that's a thought. I think not very much is a euphemism.
So one thing I would like to point out before we continue now, Alonso doesn't sit on the bench because the numbers of people who are allowed on the bench are limited. So that's why you heard him talk about the perch that he has at Nagoya Dome and the fact that he's not basically on the bench. And I knew that, but I didn't make that clear in the interview at that time. So just keep that in mind. But what stuck in your head after you heard?
Well, first of all, I was surprised that you forgot about Nagoya Stadium being carved out to be the same shape as Nagoya Dome.
I didn't forget, but the ball just carries so differently there.
Well, it is. Okay. Well, I will granted that it is outdoor.
It's not the little bandbox that it was.
No. The dimensions are the same as Nagoya Dome, except that it's outside and they play day games. Which is a huge difference. Although if you've ever been in Nagoya Dome before they turn the air conditioning on and when they've got the sunlight, they haven't closed off the glass ceiling panels in the top of the dome. It's you know, it makes Cebu Dome seem pretty comfortable.
Oh gosh, yeah, I can only imagine.
If you're there early for like the Dragons practices, it's toasty.
Yeah, you wimps out here in the Kanto area don't know what a real summer is until you go down to Nagoya and experience.
Yeah, they'll say the same in Fukuoka and Hiroshima about y'all. So, okay, so but anyway, yeah, a lot of things, and I'm gonna keep it pretty simple to just sort of. I just say verifying or giving some background to some of the things. And I haven't paid much attention to Akira Naio. Just we'll start at the end. So I can't really comment about him. I haven't seen him hit. It seems like everybody's talking about him, but I never see him. Whereas Ishikawa, I've spent an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out what he's up to. Mm-hmm. And John and I had exchange comments about him, but it was almost pretty much by the time John was was getting frustrated by his being lost. I mean, he was lost when he started. And I thought, you know, well, you know, let's see. And he looked confident and aggressive. You know, his swings were aggressive and confident as, you know, by the time he was sent back to get more playing time. So, mm-hmm. so that was, I was encouraged by that. And that was more or less, I thought, Alonso's explanation of that was razor sharp. I mean, just the way he focused and the way or the things he chose to focus on about him, I thought were really interesting.
Right.
Now, a couple of things. They're good on defense. Now, the Dragons have been good on defense, and they are pretty good at turning double plays. But they're not, I don't know, catching the ball, I'm not convinced
mm-hmm.
each year. Their defense, team defensive efficiency rating, the percentage of balls they turn into to outs is third worst in NPB.
Mm.
So that's not a good sign. I mean, the Swallows, the Carp. I know the Carp. What happened to the Carp and the Dragons, who are two teams that like used to be near the top all the time, and they're not anymore. So those things are, they look like they should, but they're not quite there, and I don't know why they're not there. I can't say. But
well, yeah, I got lots of stuff to talk about when we get into okay. the team thing. But
okay, so there's that. Now, the other thing is, yeah, I thought the obvious comment of, you know, they have a high average, but they don't score runs. Well, that's fairly obvious because they don't draw walks and they don't hit for power. They're basically a singles hitting team.
Mm-hmm.
And so their average doesn't really reflect. Basically, it's an empty. Their average is empty. So unless Almonte is back, and that was the good news, I guess, if he is coming back and he is playing like he can,
mm-hmm.
then they've got some, they're going to have some selection issues.
Yeah.
Well, actually yes. not really, because I think Mr. Gonzalez is going to be the missing.
Luis Gonzalez.
Guy.
Yeah. The pitcher. Yeah.
And he'll be reliever, gone. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's going to be Raidel Martinez and Ariel Martinez. And, Zuallo and Almonte, and that's it.
Viciedo.
And Viciedo, yes. Zuallo and Almonte, that's, I'm making him into two people when he's having trouble being one. So, okay, so there's that. But as far as otherwise, yeah, they're the worst team at taking walks in NPB. They have the worst on-base percentage in NPB. They have the worst isolated power in NPB. The other thing, which is, I guess, less obvious, is I thought it was interesting. They're an interesting team because they swing, the percentage of swings on pitches out of the zone is higher.
Mm.
It's 11th highest in NPB. They're good at making contact on those balls.
But they swing it way too many, and you're not going
to. Yeah. Exactly. But if you swing at those, even though you make contact,
yes,
you're not forcing guys to throw strikes. And well, that's really the thing. And I'm sure that's probably the point he was getting to. I didn't touch on situational hitting, but
sure, yeah.
So those are the things that struck me.
Okay. All right. For me, I guess I was going to save this, but I'll start with it since you brought up Ariel Martinez, the catcher. And, you know, he came up. We talked about the fact that he had been a developmental player and that they were going to lose his rights if he didn't play. Mm-hmm. But he came up and he was hitting so well. And I thought, well, why is this guy out of the lineup when we see him hitting so well? And I thought Alonso delivered us one of those backdoor sliders, a nice pitch, Alonso, because he talked about the fact that the guy's catching, and I think you mentioned it, that no one really had caught in NPB as a foreign catcher for 20 something years, and in the last
20, guy to really do it, 29 years.
Yeah, and the last guy to do it was Dingo. Dave Nielsen.
Yeah.
Well, and he had done it one game. I know. Okay, so you're saying, yeah, closer to 30 years. And so, but I didn't put two and two together that, yeah, these guys don't play a lot on the farm. And if you're catching, it kind of wears you out. And then when you would, what Alonzo didn't say, but that I realized once he said it, was that these catchers sit around with the pitchers and they go through the lineups of other teams and they prep for these games. And so that mental preparation can take a lot out of a guy. And in the meantime, he's not studying the pitchers to get ready to hit. So that whole, why is he not in the lineup when he's hitting really well, made sense to me after Alonzo delivered that backdoor slider that I took for strike three. So, so I, you know, I really thought that that was a really good nugget that he came up with that if you're not paying attention, you might have missed. And then,
oh, I was going to say, yeah, well, if you watch his body language, and I, you know, me and body, I'm not good with body language, but his is so poised and confident. And when you see him talking to people, people are listening to what he says in Japanese.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's all in Japanese.
No, I'm not sure it's all in Japanese either, but he's communicating.
But he's speaking. Yeah. And that's good. Open your mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I see them. I see the body language with him and the pitcher on the bench and the pitch, you know, and the battery coach. And I see him with the people on the field and interacting. And I see something there that's more than, hey, I'm a foreigner and, you know, you're a foreigner. Don't you use chopsticks well?
Right. Or, you know, he says a couple words and they say your Japanese is really good. No, they're actually communicating. So, yeah, I thought that was a huge point. And then Alonzo talked about the fact that the Dragons don't hit a lot of home runs and that their home park is Nagoya Dome and that it's not conducive of home runs. And I remember actually going to one of the first practices. Now, I don't remember. I think I told you, I've told the listeners and the longtime listeners will probably remember, I was maybe one of the first reporters to get into Nagoya Dome right after it was being built. And I don't know if it was the first practice or maybe the second or third, but I got there that the week that it had opened up, and the players were there working out, and I got to talk to Alonzo right after he hit, and he said, I'm pretty sure it was the first practice, because he said, yeah, the ball's not going to carry well here, and I kind of felt surprised. I'm like, well, why would they build this big, beautiful dome, and then the ball's not going to carry? That doesn't make sense. But they have this dome. They know the ball doesn't carry there, and he said, you know, there's no excuses. So I started to think, well, might we see a home run terrace in Nagoya Dome in the next couple of seasons here, or a lagoon, or a Dragons home run lair? Or
well, they've been, yeah, but the thing is, they've been the Dragons especially since the newspaper business went south 12 years ago, about 1998, and when it really crashed. Since then, they've been on the attitude of faster players who run the bases quickly are cheaper than batters whose balls come off their bats quickly.
Okay.
You know, so guys who with foot speed and maybe light hitting guys with foot speed are cheaper than guys who, you know, can really sock the ball because they're not getting free agents. So, you know, you got a guy who can run, maybe our park will help him. And that's kind of been the Dragons thing.
Yeah. Well, like you explained, it's not really really resulting in
it's not run conducive scored. No, it's not conducive to winning games.
No run score. I mean we've seen teams like this. I remember the Hiromitsu Ochiai games, or, you know, 10-year, where they didn't score runs, and his philosophy was, well, you know, we don't give up any, we're not going to lose. And I'm like, well, yeah, well, that's not fun. And then, you know, Tanishige, he was his catcher for a long time. And like I said on the show one time, it seems like they're sharing a brain. And then he came on as manager, and they had the same kind of style. So I'm okay. That's the kind of style of team that looks like they're going to have. Right. All right, that's fine. But
the difference
you
is,
still have to get some runs.
The difference is that they didn't score runs because they played in. It wasn't like they didn't have a good offense, because really the key of the Dragons of Ochi's years were good offense, good defense. And those two were the things they did well. I mean, the pitching was kind of they had a great bullpen, but the starting pitching was kind of mediocre the whole time. But they had great ERAs because the stadium took a run and a half off the ERA, and it also took a huge bite out of their offense. When they went on the road, they were a completely different team. So, but now they don't have they don't have the good offense to go with the park that kills their offense anymore.
Right. And at the point, well, let's just go ahead and transition and start talking about the Dragons, since you've been doing it for about 10 minutes.
Sure. I can talk about them for 10 more minutes, man.
And then I think you'd be done.
I would.
I think I could talk about them all day, but I would just be complaining. But I didn't know where to start. I thought it was, offensive related. And, of course, when they started to struggle this season, they started out by winning the first series at Jingu, 2 out of 3 games, kind of exciting. They scored runs and looked like they were normal. And then we have a laundry list of issues. They're last in MPB in runs. Their team average with runners in scoring position is the lowest. Their home runs are the lowest. They might be last in stolen bases, I believe, except for DNA. They don't even try to steal. So I don't even know if you could compare to DNA, because I think that there's the other thing. I remember that you used to have data on the number of runners thrown out on the base, and I don't know if the Dragons are leading MPB in that or not, but they're really high on it, I'm sure, because I've seen a lot of guys make some poor decisions. Well,
they've always,
the bases.
That's been kind of a thing of theirs. I mean, their style is to be aggressive on the bases because.
Oh, I'm fine with aggression, but the other day they had a guy, Yota Kyoda rounds third base too far and gets thrown out when a heads up infielder decides to throw behind him. And today they had the rookie, Yuki Okabayashi, who got picked off of first. Just kind of dawdling back to first base. I mean, the aggression, I can't blame him for that.
No.
Just poor decisions or not watching the coaches or not getting back to first base. That hurts.
Sure
that just
does.
Stings.
Sure it does. But I think.
But I'm not done. I got a lot more.
But I think that has been a sort of a hallmark. They did get tons of guys thrown out on the bases before. It's not something new. It's something they've worked on for a while.
Something they worked on. it takes a lot of work to make you look this bad.
To get that bad.
Yeah. I was just quoting White Man Can't Jump the movie. But anyway, the guys in the number two hole for the team are hitting in the low hundreds. I think that's the lowest in MPB, according to my buddy Al Zora on Twitter. None of the guys they've put in that situation, in that spot, has been able to figure it out. I don't know why. I don't know why, if it's a philosophical issue that guys in the two hole think that they have to bunt or are not sure when to bunt. And that's the other thing. They don't get their bunts down. There's so much stuff that they need to work on. And it just seemed like they weren't. It seemed like Diane Viciado, he's the bar. If he hits, they'll score runs. If he doesn't hit, they really pretty much didn't have very much hope at all, because like you said, nobody hits home runs. But the other thing that I've been noticing as we shift to the pitching and defense, they have the most pitches thrown in NPB. So I don't know what that means. I mean, I know that it seems like all of their starters, and they had this real bad stretch where, they gave up the first run all the time, or they just had a bad inning early on and they don't get a lot of quality starts. But they had this stretch where they were just behind on every batter. 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, 2-1. Every pitcher was just pitching and had to throw strikes, and then they gave up hits. They're just struggling on so many levels in so many areas. And I thought Shinnosuke Ogasawara was going to be maybe, if not the front of the rotation, at the top, near in the front half of the rotation. And he got sent down to the farm before the season started. We haven't seen him. So we have Yudai Ohno as the top guy. And surprise, he hadn't won a game in six starts, but he finally won the other day. And maybe it can be indicative of what the Dragons are going to have this season, because he actually wasn't pitching poorly. He made a good pitch that Yasutaka Shiomi took out the opposite way at Nagoya Dome. And I sat there thinking, okay, little guy, I know he's got some pop, but how come the other guys from the other teams hit the home runs the opposite way at Nagoya Dome, but none of the Dragons players who play there, you know, a bunch of times in a season hit home runs the opposite way at Nagoya Dome?
I didn't see that one. You talked about it, and I didn't see it because I didn't have the game on, but I did see the other one he gave up, and that was not a good pitch.
No, that was a bad pitch. Munetaka Murakami just slugged the snot out of a high something, you know, what I'd like to call the float ball. But I think it was a fastball.
Yeah, it was high and straight.
Yeah. You're going to miss, and guys like that are going to take you deep. I understand. But he actually didn't. He wasn't pitching poorly.
No.
He just made that mistake. And the other one, I don't think really was a mistake. But he hopefully the Dragons, you know, this is why they play the rest of the games. That's how they're starting out this season. They're right there. They're competitive. They're in the games. They just can't figure a way to get over the top. But Ohno stayed in the game. And we heard in the interview that Alonso talked about the fact that Ohno had a game in which they were hoping he could get some quick innings and he wasn't able to. Well, he was able to on this night and he got back into it and he ends up pitching their first complete game of the season and they won the game and they even scored five runs with a little help from some poor defense from the Swallows, but they did it and they came back. So I think that that's the way the team is thinking that, look, these are correctable things. Some of them, the pitch selection, there was some at bats today where I think they had some really poor decisions in terms of going after some pitches and maybe a little bit too aggressive, but those are going to happen sometimes. But you try to limit that and maybe they can get back into the race, because look, in the Central League, you have to finish first or you're not going to, there is no playoff this year in that league. So you got to get the number one spot. And so something has to turn around for these guys.
I'm going to give you a little report on Shinosuke Ogasawara. He's played in three Western League games and 14.
Oh, I know he's pitched.
Yeah. 14 and a third innings. He's allowed six walks and he struck out five. That's not a good sign. He hasn't given up a home run yet, but it's the Western League. It's really pitcher friendly, but he's allowed about 5.5 runs a game.
Well, thanks for the report.
Okay. Just wanted to keep it's not like he's doing well and they're just holding him back.
Yeah, I actually did go and look at the farm stats because of the two homer game from Nail. I see what was going on down there, and I noticed that he wasn't doing anything standout-ish to get back up. And Shotaro Kasahara, another guy I thought might be able to crack the rotation if he got. But thank goodness for Takahiro Matsuba, who came back, the guy they got in the trade from the Oryx Buffaloes, and he has had three, I would say, outstanding outings for them already. And
yes, indeed he has. I mean, he lost one because, you know,
he lost one because they didn't score, but he only got up two runs, another quality start.
Yeah, you go out, you do your job, and you know, stuff happens.
Yep, you can't control that. So yeah, hopefully for Alonso, like I said, I did ask him about his well-being because I know that's a lot of stress to go through losing close games on a daily basis.
Are you implying that the Dragons are not good for people's mental health?
I didn't say that. Okay. Well, then people are not coaching them.
That is true.
Alonso is. So people who are observing can turn off the TV or go for a walk or have some ice cream during the game.
Because a team that I don't watch a lot, I find intriguing because I don't get, you know, because every player is kind of an adventure. And I've seen two or three Dragons games in the last week, which is a lot for me. And I've enjoyed them. I mean, I like some of the players. I like You know, I like watching and seeing what the manager's doing and some of the, particularly some of the starting pitchers. I mean, yeah, I've been impressed by a couple of them. Katsuno, Yuichiro Okano's had some, they have, these guys are like, I would guess they're pretty bread and butter NPB pitchers.
They're cookie cutter guys though.
Yeah, but I mean, they're guys who, if they become just an ounce more consistent with their location,
mm-hmm.
they could be really darn good. Because, you know, even though they're not going to, you know, none of them throw really hard, although today's pitcher Kodai Umeta does have a decent, you know, decent velocity for that group of pitchers.
Again, yeah, all of them just need to pinpoint those things, you know.
Well, they need to be, yeah, consistent with the location, and that comes, yes. and it comes with work. But I think this is a, you know, there's a lot of potential.
Yeah, we saw it. They had their three best, I think, pitching performances against the Swallows, and came away without a loss.
Yeah,
so.
they're not a team like you're gonna, you know, they're not like. They don't have a guy like Yoshinobu yet. Well, okay. How many teams have guys like Yoshinobu Yamamoto? Okay, it works. Okay, put your hand down. We're tired of talking about you. But not many of those guys around. So, but the Sugan, you know, the guys who are a notch above, who are consistently a notch above, they don't have that. And I do like Yudai Ohno because he certainly knows what he's doing. And I like his pitches, you know. He's never going to scare anybody, but darn, people have when he is locating his pitches as well as average, he's not easy to hit because I think his arm slot is deceptive, and you know, the speed's nothing special, but he knows what he's doing.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, good luck to the Dragons. And again, thank you very much, Alonzo.
Yes,
always
yes,
appreciate
yes.
it. And we will come calling again, my brother.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a joke.
All right. Making a four-seam transition. It's our first mini track segment of the season. And do you remember why we call it mini tracks,
Jim? I do indeed, because I talked to the NPB tracker the other day.
Oh, okay. Well, tell us about it. Why do we call it mini tracks?
Well, because of and now if I can remember his last name, Patrick.
Okay, you sort of remember, but
no, I remember his first name's Patrick.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you don't remember.
I know. I got a website called NPB Tracker.
Well, yeah, Patrick Newman used to come on and help us out once a month with the power rankings. And at that time, I actually put a thing on Twitter and I asked the listeners, what should we call this segment of the show? And we got back some really funky names. And it was then I decided I will never ask the public again for opinions. I would just come up with my own. And I named it Power Tracks for Patrick Newman.
Okay.
And then Patrick wasn't able to help us out, so we decided to do a shorter version of it, and that's why we call it Mini Tracks.
Okay.
And we spell it T-R-A-X because of I didn't want to take the tracker from Patrick Newman and mimic it, but I wanted it to sound the same, so I spelled it with an X, so it's called Mini Tracks. All right. So the history, JBW history in the rearview mirror. Give me your top three teams. From, I don't know, when do we want to start this? I guess
the start
July.
Of the season, I would think.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But that's kind of silly because everybody knows who's hot then. But yeah, I'm just going to go with my top three from maybe the past 10 days. Because otherwise, everybody just kind of blends together. So what about you? You want me to go first or you want to go first or what?
Well, see, I always did a month or so. And since we haven't
That's fine.
A
do
month,
what you got.
Okay. My top three are Giants.
Yep.
Rakuten Eagles.
Yep.
And the SoftBank Hawks.
Wow. So that's why it didn't take very much effort. That's what I have. And actually, I when you look at it, the Hawks have really done – they haven't been so obviously good. They've just been winning a lot of games, but not – long streaks or anything. And the Giants had that, what was it, a 7-game winning streak, I think. And mm-hmm. They had an obvious stretch. So I'm thinking I'm going to make the Hawks number one, and I'm making the Giants number two, and then the Eagles. And the Eagles, they've had some bullpen issues, which we'll talk about later on. And that's probably why I counted three games that they blew leads. So I think if you take those three games away, they'd be right up there too. But they're at 20-17 as we're speaking now, three games under 500. And have you noticed that the Pacific League had the Marines lost tonight? Four teams would have been under 500. Isn't that weird?
Well, they were under four teams were under 500 yesterday. So,
well, I'm just saying, had they lost tonight, right, it would have stayed that way. But they're at 500.
Yeah,
they won.
Tough. Yeah, I mean, they're a 500 league now without interleague.
Yeah, and when they have to play each other, it's tougher. And then the Central League as well. There's three teams that are 500 or better. And then, well, actually, there are four with the Hanshin Tigers getting rained out so much. So they're at 17-17. So only two teams are under 500. But what are your bottom three then?
Well,
sure, it's going to be the same as mine.
probably they are. I think we've hit them all in the last moment. In fact, we spent most of the show talking about number 12.
Really? I don't think so.
I do.
I think there's a team that's been in recent days. I'm thinking the past 10 days.
Oh, mine are the worst is the Dragons, and then next is Lotte, and after that is the Oryx Buffalo.
No, the Carp. You're missing the Carp. You're missing the whole boat. They've been really bad.
Well, yeah. See, that's the thing is, you know, we didn't have a Power Tracks before, so I just started from the start of the season, and also I don't have any way of cutting the data off.
Yeah, they had a good first 10 days or 2 weeks, but since then they've been pretty bad, ever since July.
Okay.
They have not been good. So, yeah. So my bottom three.
I'd put Oryx maybe, I guess if I was, I just don't have the date. I don't have my data, so it's really hard.
Okay,
I might put, the Carp have been bad. I mean, they didn't have the worst of weeks this week, but they were lousy the week before.
Yeah. I've got the Carp at 12. I've got the Buffaloes at 11. I've got the Dragons at 10. I don't think they have been as bad as those other teams.
No, I think they have.
Because they've been in their games. A lot of times when the Buffaloes lose, they they don't even bother. And the Dragons are in their games to the end.
I would.
Unless their starter gets blown up really early, they're usually in the games. Now, that bullpen, which we'll get to soon, it's hit and miss in some respects, but yeah, for the most part, they're not bad.
Okay.
And so making a two-seam transition, and I want to talk about these exploding bullpens. Now, you remember those big pens from the 70s?
Yeah,
remember peachy folders and all that stuff?
The ones from the 70s, but I remember them, sure.
Because you would know them because you would go to like Pep Boys or some Radio Shack or some place, and there'd be a guy named Chuck or somebody or Ricky, and he'd have those work shirts on
with the pocket protector,
he wouldn't have the pocket protector. He'd have the pocket, and it'd have an ink blot on it because the Bic pen would have leaked in it. That's the way a lot of these bullpens have been, I think, a lot. And I hit you up, I don't know, maybe a week ago, and we discussed it, and I said, look, haven't you noticed an inordinate number of bullpens getting blown up? And your response to me was, settle down there, puppy. Bullpens give up runs. And I'm like, that's not what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but from an analytical point, I don't know that this is unusual.
Okay.
Because I don't have a baseline to measure it against.
Sure. Okay. Well, how about this? Watch some games and watch them blow up.
I do watch games.
I watch six. And that's your baseline.
I watch six games a day, pretty much. But
I have to admit, I'm really glad that you're watching games and blogging like this because it really makes you watch the games. So I'm really glad that we can talk about stuff and you've actually seen it, because some of the newer listeners, in past years, I would be talking about some games, and Jim might have seen one of the games, but he didn't see. Like, I try to watch all the games at once, so I'm crazy like that. But Jim will say, well, no, I didn't really see that, or I didn't see the play specifically. And now this year, I haven't heard so much of that.
Yeah, but
and that's my baseline.
But the yeah, well, you see, the thing is, though, because I'm doing the blog is the reason I don't have the data, because I have to redo my whole data entry, and doing the blog takes up all the time that I would have spent writing code to get all my data.
Right. All right. So I hit you up again and I said, okay, well, let's talk about bullpens. Let's rank our top bullpens and our bottom three. And what started this was not only the Eagles bullpen giving up a big lead to the Oryx Buffaloes. I think it was July 22nd, but some other bullpens. And then I've seen guys, I mean, from the start, the Carp haven't really had a bullpen. So let's just go through our top three and then let's talk about why. So
I don't have a why.
we'll talk about it. I'm sure you have something to say.
Okay.
My worst bullpen in MPB is the Hiroshima Carp. Now, not only because the relievers have a 5.23 ERA. You don't want me to do... Okay, I can do the why. Because I think they don't have an official closer. DJ Johnson and Taylor Scott, they were brought in, and Scott had a pretty decent camp and preseason. And then they just really haven't been the answer at the back of the bullpen. Now, I don't know if they just need to spend some more time on the farm and just adjust to Japanese baseball. I don't know what it is, but it just hasn't been pretty. And then Hieronimo Francois, who was a weapon last year as a setup man, and he added 12 saves. He struggled. He's not been able to replicate that kind of efficiency. So that's why I have them. I mean, they've thrown guys out there. I just don't see anybody. I mean, sometimes, like I said, some guys can get those last three outs, or if you have a two-run or three-run lead, they can save it, but they don't look good doing it. So they're my worst bullpen. And then second worst, and I'm sure you're going to be surprised about this one, is the Hanshin Tigers. And the reason I say that, not only because Kyuji Fujikawa, who was pegged as the closer to start the season and had to, I think he even got dropped to the farm,
he
right?
He did.
He just really hasn't been all that great. And I think even tonight he threw the eighth inning for the Tigers, not the ninth. So he wasn't in the closer role. But it was because I think in the first eight games, they couldn't get anybody to come in out of the bullpen and put up zeros as a group. They just kept giving up runs out of the bullpen. And that just has been carrying over. They're hit and miss. And they have a few guys who maybe can put up a zero, but as a group, if they have to get the last six or seven outs, it just seems like somebody gives up a run along the way. And their bullpen ERA, 4.79, that's bad. I think that's the second highest ERA in MPB. So that was my number two. And then the third worst, so number 11 in Japan, I think I have the Buffaloes there, but they don't have as high an ERA as Yakult, but I think the Buffaloes is worse because we don't know, again, the closer situation. At least with the Swallows, we know
How bad Taishi Ishiyama is?
Taishi Ishiyama is going to come on and he's going to either hit or miss. And, you know.
Well, no, he's either going to get hit and get a save, or he's going to get hit and he's going to lose the game. There's not a lot of miss.
Hashtag high hand.
He did well today.
I can't say I did not. Today was the day I didn't see the Swallows play, so I don't know.
I thought that was the game that you were live streaming today.
Oh, it was. What am I thinking? He didn't play today.
He pitched the 10th inning.
Oh, did he?
Where were you? Oh, that's right. You're talking so much to everybody.
Yeah, we were talking about Umetsu and other stuff. Okay.
He had a 1-2-3 10th inning and strikeout.
I was still focused on watching. I was locked in and thinking about Noboru Shimizu for two innings then. Okay.
Right, yeah. Well, it's good. So those are my bottom three. You have a bottom three?
Number 12, I have the Tigers.
Okay.
Number 11, I have the Carp. And number 10, I have the Swallows. And with the Swallows, I have kind of a... I have an asterisk with them in that overall they've been really bad. But right now, I'm seeing an emergence. It's sort of like the alien spores are blossoming in that bullpen. And one of the guys who's really struck me, in addition to Noboru Shimizu, who's been really good. I mean, yeah, he had a lousy outing against the Tigers the other day or a week ago.
You'll have one once in a while, sure. Yeah.
Sure. First of all, these kids are young. And I was talking with the guys from the J Ball Island, some members today, and it struck me when Shimizu came on, and I was thinking about the other guy who is Hiroki Hasegawa,
mm-hmm.
who's been really good. And this is a guy. This is a great story because it's sort of like, you know what I said about. As an analyst, I'm sort of like trying to figure out what's on the plate by the crumbs that fall off it.
Well, okay.
he's sort of like, you know, the trickle-down theory. He's the trickle-down theory of Japanese baseball, that if the Hawks have 275 guys on their developmental roster, they're not going to be – some of them are going to be good and they're not going to be able to keep them.
Ah, yes.
And Hiroki Hasegawa was a guy who – the Hawks badly wanted to keep, but they didn't want him badly enough to put him on the 70-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost him. And the Swallows signed him for nothing. And he looks pretty good. So
yeah,
I'm seeing these guys in middle relief right now for the Swallows who look pretty – Yugo Umeno, who's been – you know, he's up and down, but – Hasegawa and Noboru Shimizu, and I think these guys. Well, Shimizu has jumped up out of the seventh inning role, and he's now the setup guy instead of Scott McGuff.
Grandmother goes to my old gym,
and his grandmother goes to John's old gym, and
every day.
Wow,
she's there every day.
Fitness in the family. So
yeah.
I like that, and they're sort of like. They've got potential. I don't know. He's a guy who came out of nowhere and he's headed. I don't want to say he's headed back to nowhere, but
he knows where his roots are.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. I mean, this is a guy who had like three saves when he was 23, and then when he was 29, he was like one of the best relievers in the league, and he hasn't done a lot since. And I don't know. I don't watch him enough. I don't see him enough. He didn't play much last year. But yeah, anyway, so that's my thing about the Swallows. The Carp are just a patchwork quilt right now. And when Yasuhiro Kikuchi is your guy, oh man. I mean, he's pitched some good, and I understand he's pitched some good games for them. I think I don't know what to think about Shinji Sasaoka as a manager, except that when it comes, you know, it's like he's doing like weird pitcher tricks. Well, I mean, he did the thing, you know.
Come on somebody's late night show?
Yeah, David Letterman would do it. He probably appeared on David Letterman because, you know, he had the one where he just so wanted to have Daichi Osera pitch back-to-back complete games. Well, Daichi Osera is now trying to pitch it all on the farm team.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's doing weird stuff. It's like, I shouldn't say weird stuff. I don't understand what he's doing.
Well, that is weird, though, because we talked about it last week that you have your star pitcher and all of a sudden he comes out of a game. That's a clear case of somebody getting angry at someone else for something. Yeah, we don't know which direction it was, but the response seems to be you go to the farm.
Well, it was like he wasn't himself. And I think my guess is he had a tired arm or something. He just didn't have he just felt like his arm had lacked strength or something.
Whatever it is. Yeah. You say weird stuff. I'm agreeing with you. So
yeah.
It's okay to say.
No, real weird stuff is like Tomoaki Kanemoto having Shintaro Fujinami throw 180 pitches because he was angry with him. Okay.
Not weird either. That's very typical Japanese stuff. But
now that's old school. That's 90s. That's something Sasaoka would understand, because that's when he was pitching, when managers all did that kind of stuff.
Well, I thought about having the Yakult Swallows at 10, but I decided the Buffaloes was a worse situation, because I actually like when, for example, the Dragons, if they can get to their last two guys, I think Daisuke Soboe has been really good for them, and Raidel Martinez is excellent. He's the best closer in the Central League.
Yep.
But they just can't get it to him. So if you can't, you know, and the other guys along the way haven't been good. They can't keep the close games close, and they can't keep the tie games tied.
Well, we had a discussion, John. When did we have the discussion about Hiroto Fuku?
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Maybe
did we bring that up on the show? Okay, well, I'll bring up Hiroto Fuku. Now, as I said, I don't watch a lot of the Dragons games, but I did notice him, and I'm saying, wow, you know, he had gone through a streak where he hadn't allowed a run all year, and I did mention, and John said, oh, he's not good when he pitches 2 or 3 days a row. Well, we haven't seen him pitch 3 days in a row this year, but we have seen him pitch 2 days in a row, and it's not like he was really bad, but if you look at the games as a whole, he's not been as effective pitching on consecutive days. And John was right about that. He hasn't been terrible, but it's overall, it's a qualitative difference. And it seems basically the difference is he doesn't seem to, I think he locates the first game, and then all his location is left in the first game. He left his Google Maps in the first game.
Where's my GPS?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, those are things I think you notice if you watch games like I do. Like, that's how I noticed that the Swallows seem to have a bullpen rotation, is because I would see a guy and I'm like, okay, I saw this guy last night. I'm expecting the same guy to come out, and it's a different guy. And then I would watch the next night, and it'd be, you know, a different guy from that. So I just thought, okay, he's keeping his guys fresh. But anyway, let's go to the top three bullpens. Who do you have at number one?
Hawks.
I do too, and I don't think there's much to talk about in terms of debate about it. I don't see, you know, they have more arms than any team anyway, but you got Levon Moinetto, who just never seems like he's going to get hit. He might give up a hit once in a while and maybe make a mistake, but then they have a collection of guys who will throw in the seventh inning, and then they get the ball to Yuito Mori, and he's pretty much shut down. So I think they're the best as well, and the ERA backs that up, because they're the only bullpen with an ERA under 3. And they're at 257, I think it is. Yeah, 257.
Yeah, I mean, they've taken, and we were talking about the disappointment of not being able to watch the Hawks. We had planned to watch the Hawks and Lions game, and of course Akira Niho. And one of the topics, you know, at the beginning of the season was the Hawks manager chose to put Akira Niho in the starting rotation and put Rei Takahashi in the bullpen, and it seemed like, okay. like what's up with that kind of thing? And Takahashi did what the Hawks, you know, I love the Hawks culture, that the relievers and the starters don't seem to have any qualms about going into the bullpen.
Yeah, because if you complain, you just get sent to the farm.
I think that's it. I mean, you know, we talked about them.
You might never return.
Yeah, they've got,
because there's so much talent.
Exactly, they've got two full teams worth of bullpens on the developmental roster. So exactly, if you complain, you could be pitching for the Dragons next week.
Yep, my number two bullpen is the Yomiuri Giants, and they're. Team, their bullpen ERA 3.28, not bad at all.
Well, that's the one where they were
actually down to 3.26.
Yeah, well, they were better before Ruby De La Rosa was hurt.
Yes,
and they struggled.
Still good.
Yeah, and well, still good, though. Well, Kota Nakagawa came back, and they kind of remembered why he was good. I don't have them in my list. I actually have the Dragons number two, but the reason. is not really any rational reason. I just picked, you know, I looked for, I don't have any data to back any of this up. So I basically went with the Delta graphs, and their runs above average, runs better than average, is second in Japan. So I thought, well, okay, I'll go.
Yeah. Well, when, like I said, when they're leading and they have a scenario in which they can get the good guys, their top guys out there, they're really good.
They're sort of like the inverse of the Swallows, because I like the I like the Swallows a lot when they're leading in the sixth and seventh.
Yes.
And I like the Dragons a lot when they're leading in the eighth. So
yeah, in the eighth and ninth, yes. Yeah, I think the Dragons like the Dragons when they're leading in the eighth and ninth innings. So who's number three for you then?
I have the Lions.
Actually, yeah, I have the Lions at three as well. And their team ERA out of the bullpen is really good, but I think it's Garrett Reed. I mean, let's just get to this point here. The dude is coming in and firing bullets. I think he hit 160 kilometers an hour recently, and that's
And, you know, and I was going to mention Garrett Reed, but there's another guy who's also really good. I mean, there's another reliever who's been really good in his first year, and that's Tyler Higgins with Oryx. And they that's really why I think Oryx isn't in the bottom three, is because of, and okay, Brandon Dixon has not been as effective as he was last year.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, we love him, but he allows a lot of base runners.
You know, this year, last year, he was much more effective, but this year he has not been. But he hasn't been blowing up games. You know, he's been those two have been quite effective. So, and also I think Oryx is also a weird combination. They do have a lot of good arms, mm-hmm. and sort of like in a sense they're a little bit like the Swallows, and if they can figure out how they want, you know, if they can figure out the right combination.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, but there's something weird about Oryx in that I have this weird feeling that they're kind of figuring things out.
Yeah, I feel that way sometimes, but then you just watch them lose a game.
Yeah, and you still watch them run the bases, which I wish they would stop.
Yeah.
gosh, I swear, if I see one more, of course, the Swallows had the worst one, but they've had. The Buffaloes now have seen three games. I want to say two because I remember it. Two games where they had the delayed, you know, the two out runner on the corner, delayed steal, try to get home base.
Right. Yeah. And
Masataka Yoshida has been caught off third base twice.
Yeah.
And the Swallows did one yesterday where the guy took off from first before the pitcher was ready to go to the plate. Like, guys, stop. And Yoshida got it because the catcher, it's like this is the one thing that, it's the 112th thing that drives me nuts about Oryx, is the fact that manager Nishimura is so predictable. If there are two and runners on first and third, you know they're going to do the double steal. So Shingo Usami, the fighter's catcher, just faked the throw to second base.
Why not?
And Yoshida came 10 feet off third base. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah, hang on a second. He's cheating. Teacher.
Exactly. Everybody knows they're going to do it.
Yeah, it's predictable. Yeah. Well, getting back to the Cebu Lions bullpen,
so we can
wrap this segment up here. Tatsushi Masuda is the guy I call the robot, and he's rock solid as the closer. And Katsunori Hirai, I think he has been Skipper Hatsuhiko Tsuji's go-to guy for the past two-plus seasons.
I wish he'd stop it a little bit, give him some rest.
He does look like he's tired, but he keeps getting outs, and that's what's important.
How much do you – okay, and I mean, we talked about Garrett Reed, but Kaima Taira.
But yeah, I like Taira. He throws hard, and he gives them a weapon out of the bullpen to go in to get – he would be my first guy. I would bring him – out, especially if the starter gets into trouble, I just bring that out there and say, whatever inning it is, fifth or sixth, whatever, have some of this. and then let the teams worry about, or, you know, piece together the bullpen the rest of the way.
No, but, he's still on the active roster.
Yeah, yeah, he has been a weapon for them, so that's cool. All right, making a seamless transition into the top performers of the month. So I didn't get an email about this from NPB. Did you get your email that we usually get? I didn't see one.
Oh, the one where they say it's coming?
The candidates,
you know, the guy.
Yeah.
I think maybe they've learned their lesson. Well, I think they learned their lesson last year when, you know, when they didn't have, 2 years ago when they had Yusei Kikuchi wasn't among the candidates because he didn't win his first two. You know, he didn't have any wins after the 14th of July or something, and he had three wins and like two shutouts.
All right. Well, let's whip through this and then let the people go. So, in the Central League, who do you have?
The hitter is Noriichi Aoki.
Yeah, I really think he's like the. When I checked, he was the OPS leader in the Central League. I think that has changed since then. But yeah, he's having a really good season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But I'm not picking him.
Okay, well, that's fine. I don't think anyone's going to pick him either. But I have Noriichi Aoki, and then the guy, I wouldn't really put him at first, but I think, you know, well, okay, you won five games, so here's your prize. Tomoyuki Sugano.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that we've got all these guys who we've got some guys who have big names and some big production in some areas, but then we got these guys who've snuck up like Aoki, and then my guy is Kentaro Taira of the Bay Stars, who pitched really well tonight. Every start this season, I think he's had seven starts now, All seven quality starts. He's been the most consistent pitcher in the Central League, but what's his record?
Yep.
Not enough wins. So he probably,
They have changed it. I mean, like I said, last year that the monthly MVPs changed their sponsor from Nippon Seimei to a subsidiary of Nippon Seimei, and they got a little more flexible or creative. So they
are flexibly creative, something like that.
Well, whatever. But the point is, it used to be really easy to pick who was going to be the, especially with the pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my hitter is Kazuma Okamoto because of the home runs, because of the RBIs, and because he's hitting a bunch. He's hitting 300. But there are guys who are hitting like Shota Dobayashi, he's still hitting close to 400, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go with the production guy.
Okay.
And that's him. But yeah, OPS, Aoki is... Yeah, Aoki is second in the Central League in OPS behind Seiya Suzuki. So, yeah, yeah. All right, in the Pacific League, who do you have?
I have.
There's only one guy for the hitter. We can't be off on this.
You mean other than Yuki Inagita? I don't have anybody other than Yuki Inagita.
There's only one guy. It's Yuki Inagita of the Hawks. Yeah.
Starts with this guy. I mean, yeah. It's like... Okay, I've seen him make outs, but I still don't quite believe it. I mean, his typical game is, okay, he's going to drive, hit a fly ball. He's going to miss hit a fly ball and hit it to the warning track for an out. And then he's going to rip a single, and he'll walk twice, and then maybe he'll hit a home run, and then maybe he'll poke somebody's eye out with a ball.
But yeah, hide the children.
Yeah, exactly. He's dangerous.
I think Hideto Asamura of the Eagles has all these RBIs. He has 13 home runs to lead the way, but with Yanagita hitting close to 400, he's 22 points away from 400. He's got the 10 home runs. He has 38 runs scored. He's knocking in runs. He's the guy. All right, what about pitcher? Pitcher was a hard one.
Me? I go with the old standard. And you know what? I gave this guy a lot of stick. So you know
yes,
what I'm
you always
about.
Do.
You know yes. what I'm talking about. It's Hideaki Wakui. But the last three games, I just want to give this guy the award and say, you know, merito, and please don't give an acceptance speech.
Yeah, because that would put people to sleep. But yeah, Hideaki Wakui of Rakuten, he has five wins. His ERA, his WHIP, all both are among the league leaders. His ERA right behind Yoshinobu Yamamoto of Oryx. And he's got the five wins. I mean, he hasn't lost. So one of the wins was a double-digit offensive explosion for the team in which he didn't pitch very well. But, hey, he pitched the five innings.
Right. When he was 2-0, he looked like a guy who should be minus one.
Yes.
He looked like a guy who should be 0-2.
But his last what are you doing here?
Exactly. You know, I remember when he made his third start, and I said, let's see if he pitches like a guy who actually deserves to win a game. And since his second start, it's like he's a different guy. He's like Wakui. I don't ever remember him being this consistently good.
Yep. Yep. And he's an old guy now. So this is quite impressive for a guy, I think, in his 16th season. So, all right. Well, we'll see. I don't know if they're going to have this thing. I haven't heard anything about it. 12th of August. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how we do when these guys come out. And before we close out, one note, the game today between the Hawks and the Lions was canceled because of a positive coronavirus test by Yuya Hasegawa of the Hawks.
Okay, yeah. Hasegawa has tested positive. He was working out. He was currently not on the active roster. He was working out at their farm facility about 50 miles away in Chicago. And he has not had any direct contact with any of the Hawks first team players or staff. However, the team said that because some of the first team players and staff use the minor league facilities, they couldn't rule out that there was no exposure.
Okay.
So they canceled Sunday's game. They postponed Sunday's game. We don't know whether it's canceled or not.
Right. It was called off, at least, or they didn't play it. And, you know, I'm not surprised. We haven't seen a lot of testing. You know, we talked to Nick about it last week, Nick Martinez of the Fighters. I would like to see more testing, but apparently they're going to test everybody involved with the Hawks, and everybody has to pass the test, you know, basically negative test, and then they'll travel up to Sendai and start their series.
Well, they could always do the Miami Marlins ones and ask Kenta Imamiya if they should play.
Hashtag high heat.
All right. Let's
their
make
players a rep and their shortstop. After all, I think those are the two requirements to make decisions about coronavirus.
Right. Yeah. They're qualified too. All right. No question this week. We'll get to it next week. Anyone who has a question or a comment or some criticism, hit us up at JBW Podcast on Twitter with the hashtag high heat. You can send questions, including MP3s, by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Or you can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. Check out Jim's stuff on jballallen.com. And we will see you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballparks.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBallAllen. Be sure to send in your questions with hashtag high heat, and you'll hear from us again next week.